The Solidarity Fund, which has been set up in collaboration by government, business and civil society, released a statement yesterday giving more detail about its aims and purposes. It was announced by President Cyril Ramaphosa on the 23rd of March when he announced that the country would be going into a lockdown phase. The government put seed funding of 150 million rand in the fund, with businesses, civil society and individuals called upon to contribute. This vehicle has been set up to complement government's initiatives to help curb the spread of the coronavirus, as well as to deal with its impacts head on. The founders of the fund say it serves to unite South Africa against a common enemy, that being the virus. To tell us more about its aims and where funds will be applied, I'm joined on the line by Adrian Enthoven. He's the deputy chairperson at the Solidarity Fund. Thanks very much, Adrian, for joining us. So the president touched on the creation of the fund when he announced that the country would go into lockdown over a week ago. And you've now come up with a clearer outline of what the fund is going to be doing. Just outline to us what the fund's aims will be.
So the fund was formed to build a united front in the fight against COVID. The intention is to unite the nation in our efforts to defeat the virus. And so we're looking to create a conduit through which contributions from citizens, communities, businesses, international donors can be pooled together and aligned with a common effort. So our key objective as a fund is to be agile and nimble and to be able to rapidly respond to the crisis.
Yes.
Clearly, you know, the crisis is unfolding like day by day, so we don't have the luxury of time, and so we want to be, you know, very responsive, an organization that can respond very quickly to the crisis as it unfolds.
Yeah. We know that the government put down 150 million rand in terms of seed funding toward, you know, towards getting the fund started up. What's been the response of the South African public and others in raising funds so far?
So we've had an incredible response. I mean, both from corporates, companies, and from individual South Africans. I mean, we've had many thousands of South Africans give contributions. And it is something that is hugely important to us. I mean, this is a campaign not from business or from civil society. I mean, this is a campaign for all South Africans to get behind. And so the number of South Africans that contribute is hugely important for us. And we're hugely encouraged and inspired by the numbers of South Africans that are coming onto our site and contributing. Corporates have also been very generous. You would have seen the Naspers announcement last night of the 500 million rand that they gave, and then many other corporates who are giving very substantial contributions. I mean, including the government's 150 million rand contribution,
yes,
we are standing at around 1 billion rand of contributions to the fund, of commitments to the fund. Not all of that money has been received. And we're just beginning in our fundraising process. So we hope that in the days to come, that number will increase substantially.
That looks sounds good. So you've indicated that 100 million rand has been earmarked specifically to help the healthcare system prepare for the eventuality of more cases going forward. So what will that money be focused on?
So Nompu, that money is really focused on a kind of urgent need for procurement of protective equipment for our healthcare workers. And so we were able to set up that facility in a much shorter space of time than government procurement processes were able to work. The initial order there was for 5 million masks, but we're looking at other protective equipment also to do on the back of that facility, that 100 million rand facility that we've created. But that is specifically for PPE, and that was just the beginning. But it was a great example of the kind of work that we're able to do. And you can see, you know, within a week of being formed, we already had acted to begin to support the health system with that procurement in a way in which and at speed at which others were not able to respond.
Absolutely. But what about the practicality? We've heard, not just here in South Africa, but the world over, people struggling just to find these basics, you know, masks, gloves, and so on and so forth. China, you know, not necessarily having all the material that people need and so on. Where are you managing to procure all this stuff?
So Nompu, there's an incredible joint effort between business and the Department of Health and government to have one single response and to ensure that we get the best quality equipment where it's available, and where possible, we try to source locally, but where not, we source anywhere else in the world where we can find the equipment and we can be sure that the equipment is of good standard. And I think the pooling of resources between the private sector and government in this, through Business South Africa and the Department of Health, I mean, has really created a kind of united front for us to ensure that we can find the equipment that we need, and we can procure it in very short time frames.
Yes.
So we are finding that even though there's scarcity and that there's a lot of competition for it, in this joint effort, we are finding that we can get access to the equipment that we need, and this is obviously an ongoing effort.
Super. So you indicate that the objective, one of the objectives at least, is to ensure the impactful allocation of capital to help cushion the blow of the COVID-19 pandemic for the most vulnerable in our society. When it comes to aiding people directly who fall under that category, what will that involve? I mean, for example, the government has yet to announce clear measures for those working in the informal sector who can't go out and sell their, their small bits and pieces to survive. Might those kind of people benefit from your assistance? Who are you going to help, and how are you going to do so directly?
So if I can just outline the kind of three elements of the work that we're going to do. We have three areas of focus. The first is the health response, which is what we've just been talking about now, which is our ability to respond in a very agile and quick way to the urgent and critical need to support our health services for the crisis that is coming or that is upon us. The second area of focus is a solidarity campaign, which is a campaign to kind of inspire and mobilize the resources of South Africans to fight both the health crisis as well as, and to respond to the health crisis as well as the social and economic crises that result from it. Hmm. And so that is a program designed to mobilize citizens, because we all have, we all individually have a role to play, whether it is through staying at home or through good hygiene or making sure we don't infect others if we get sick, but also contributing to the fund. So the idea is that as individuals, as communities, as organizations, we all have a role to play in this, in combating COVID. And the third element, which is the one that you're referring to now, is our humanitarian effort. Hmm. And so, we're only a kind of week old, and this is in its early stages of conceptualization, but our biggest focus currently is thinking through the issue of food security and hunger. And
yes.
We think that is by far the greatest kind of humanitarian challenge that we face, and it's not in the future, it's in the present, it's now. Mm. And we're trying to think through, what is the impact that we can have? Given that the resources that we have, sound like a lot of money, but when you're talking about the scale of the humanitarian challenge that we face, these resources, the financial resources we have are small. And so I think the way that we're thinking about that is, how do we create a campaign or mobilize society, businesses, who have extensive distribution networks, or businesses in the food space, community, civil society organizations, how do we mobilize and work in a united effort to address that issue? And that, there are lots of ideas on the table that we're not really in a position to talk about because they're too unformed at this stage.
Yes.
Suffice to say that food security and hunger, we think is the number one humanitarian challenge that we currently face.
Hmm. And just in terms of, people are, might be saving their last few pennies to contribute to this very noble effort. Just tell us about the structure of the board, the kind of people who are running this show, and the kind of governance principles that are governing the work that you guys are doing.
So firstly, Nombo, I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is an independent organization. It's a not-for-profit entity. It's independent. It's not an arm of government. But we obviously, we were set up by the president. Our intention is to work in very closely with the Command Council, with the leadership and the direction that's been provided by government and the Department of Health. And so we're going to work very closely, but we are an independent entity. We are independently governed. We're still in the process of appointing additional board members. The current board members, as you know, is the chair, Doris Arobe, and Michael Katz, also a director. But we'll be shortly appointing additional directors to the board, and it'll be an independent board. We intend to adhere to the highest possible governance standards. I mean, obviously, both for me and for the other people on the board, we feel a huge responsibility. I mean, we are the custodians of the people's money. I mean, the money that we are looking after or that we are going to be allocating is money that has been donated by as I mentioned, thousands and hopefully in time, hundreds of thousands or millions of South Africans.
Yes.
So you know, we that is an enormous burden of responsibility for us, that to ensure that that money is not just well spent, but it has the biggest impact that we can possibly have in this crisis.
That was Adrian Enthoven. He's the deputy chairperson at the Solidarity Fund.